This is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for July 28th, 2021. I'm Tim Kirkchin, filling in for Buster Olney, who took a day off today. Let's also keep in mind, on this date in 1991, Dennis Martinez pitched a perfect game. And on this date in 1994, Kenny Rogers pitched a perfect game. This will not be a perfect podcast because I am hosting it, but I've got Taylor with me. He's at his home in Connecticut. He will guide me through all the big stories of the day. And man, were there some big stories in baseball yesterday and this week. We've already seen the residue of the fascinating Astros-Mariners four-player trade from the other night. Kendall Graveman, the closer for the Mariners, goes to the Astros. Abraham Toro, among others, goes to the Mariners. And we already saw an interesting back and forth with that. Graveman was in tears discussing him being traded. We'll see where that leads. I haven't seen too many trades that look like that in all my time. Also, bad news for the Nationals on a couple fronts. Number one, Steven Strasburg, who is still a great pitcher, but has trouble staying healthy, will be out for the season. He's going to need neck surgery. This at least gives some closure to the Nationals on his status for the rest of the year. And equally bad news, Trey Turner, their terrific shortstop, had to be removed from the game last night because a COVID positive test. And now we'll see where that leads. And the Brewers' best player, when he's right, Christian Yelich, he, of course, was removed from, he did not play last night because of a COVID concern also. Also off the field, the administrative leave has been extended for Dodgers pitcher Trevor Bauer through August the 6th. Just another reminder that it's possible he will not pitch for the Dodgers or anyone the rest of the year. We're going to have to see how the legal process plays out there. And staying in the National League West, the Giants beat the Dodgers last night, 2-1. And if anyone asks one more time, are the Giants for real? Of course they are. They're going to the playoffs. And now you have to give them every chance in the world to win that division because of the way they pitch and the way they hit the ball out of the ballpark. Okay, there were some great, important games last night. Let's get right to the highlights. The Giants beat the Dodgers 2-1. Buster Posey scored the go-ahead run on an error by Cody Bellinger, who was playing his first game of the season at first base.
Swing and the bouncer over the mound hits softly. Out near second base, it's picked up by Muncy. He throws the first for the out. Now they've got the run down. The throw to third base is way over the head. Posey had come around third, and Bellinger threw to third, and he sailed it 40 feet over the head of the third baseman. Posey comes in to score, and over to third base goes Yastrzemski.
The Padres beat the A's 7-4 in Oakland. Fernando Tatis Jr. hit his 31st home run of the season, and it went way over 400 feet.
Two outs. This pitch hit in the air to deep left field. Canna not even going to move. It is way, way back underneath the video board and left. Above the seats and onto that bar rail section just beneath the board. Got to be one of the longest home runs of the season for Fernando. His 31st of the year, a two-run shot, and a one-run game here in the bottom of the third.
And the Rangers' Joey Gallo had two outfield assists last night, but he also hit his 25th home run. He, of course, is the center of a lot of trade rumors.
And this ball pounded deep out to center field. That one taking Smith back. It's gone! Fifth of the year for Gallo. Great to have him back. And it's 5-2 Rangers.
And in very encouraging news for the White Sox, outfielder Eloy Jimenez, in only his second game back from a torn pectoral muscle, hit a home run for the Pale Hose.
The 0-1 hit in the air. Towered fly. It's going to go. Eloy Jimenez. I think in the fountain in left center. Whoa, baby.
How you like me now?
Woo.
He got the intentional walk in front of him and said, yep, I'm ready.
Tim, real quick, before we get to Ravi, just want to remind everyone they can stream The Last Dance on ESPN+. You can relive one of the greatest icons and most successful teams in sports history, Michael Jordan and the 97-98 Chicago Bulls. Stream the Emmy and NAACP Image award-winning series The Last Dance on ESPN+. And get in the mood for NFL training camps with the Mina Kiem Show on Mina's latest episode. She's talking to Nate Tice of The Athletic. Of course, they're talking Aaron Rodgers reporting to training camp. And then they preview the AFC West. They ask a bunch of questions. What kind of offense will the Chargers run with Joe Lombardi? Can the Raiders make up for a shaky secondary? Does Patrick Mahomes mask all of Kansas City's holes on defense? And is it all about the quarterback for the Broncos? My guess is likely yes. You can follow the Mina Kiem Show wherever you listen to podcasts.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11 ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
All aboard. It's the Ravi Train with Carl Ravage on Baseball Tonight.
And now we're joined by my dear friend Carl Ravage, the best show host in the business and a great play-by-play guy. Ravi, Eduardo Perez, and I will be doing the Yankees-Rays game tonight from the Trop. Can't wait. Ravi, let's just jump right into the trade from the other night between the Astros and the Mariners. I am still, I must say, a little confused. Seattle had won four games in a row, 10 out of 14. They were charging. It looked like they had a shot at least to make the playoffs for the first time since 2001. And they traded their closer, Kendall Graveman, who has a 0.82 ERA, to Houston. Did it confuse you at all, or do you understand exactly what this means?
I think anytime somebody of that quality gets traded, especially for a team in the race, it's a little bit confusing, but I think that would also suggest that we have the ability to get inside the mind of Jerry DePoto, which I don't think anybody has the ability to do. And, you know, after he then went out and traded for Anderson, he kind of tried to explain it and thinks that this is a fifth starter that we needed and we can deal with bullpen. And, you know, I think a lot of these situations, especially pre-trade deadline, lead to other things that they already are either aware of or have in their own mind as the ability to do. With that said, with regards to closers, as unique as they are and as good a season as he was having, I personally have always thought that barring somebody named Mariano Rivera, John Wetland in his heyday, that you can find people to do that. It's not easy, and clearly there are some who are way better than others at it, but he may have the idea, or he and Scott Service, that we have somebody who can fill that role. And maybe there was a, for as great as he was, maybe there's a hesitancy in them to believe that Graveman was the guy in a race. I just think there's more moves for Jerry and the Mariners that before we just look at that one, we have to kind of wait for the whole picture instead of just the piece of the puzzle.
Right, but Ravi, you've been all over the Astros for the last month telling us they're going to be a top three team in the big leagues before you know it. And they're pretty darn close. I mean, the one issue that Dusty Baker has told us about several times in the game we do is their bullpen. Their bullpen got better, correct?
Without question, no doubt about it. And Dusty has been around baseball and in manager role and player role to know in his mind, there may not be a more valuable asset than somebody that when we have the lead going into the ninth inning, we're going to win the game. And he has, think about it. That's a terrible feeling. That's tightrope walking without a net underneath. When you go into the ninth inning and you have a guy you believe is going to win all the time, you feel a lot more confident. Think about last night in the Yankee game. There's a little concern about Aroldis Chapman being able to close games. So for Aaron Boone and Yankee fans, you go into that ninth inning, he comes out, and all of a sudden, you got first and third, and Nelson Cruz is coming up. And the here we go again feeling is the worst feeling that you can have as a team and as a manager. And I'm sure, and as you said, speaking to Dusty, he's tired of that feeling. Now, we'll see if Graveman can close games for them consistently, and that feeling begins to dissipate. It'd be a wonderful thing not to have to worry about that. Because as you said, and they've had the best record in the American League here now for a few weeks, or at least right there with the Red Sox, that we don't have to worry so much about that anymore. And they, you know, we did the Red Sox the other night, Tim, you know this, but one of the biggest changes for Boston this year, beyond the obvious Alex Cora return and Bogarts and JD and others having much better seasons than they did, Matt Barnes has become as good a closer as there is in the American League. And it was, I remember a couple of years ago when George Springer was on the Astros and Matt Barnes was pitching for the Red Sox, you worried a lot more about Matt Barnes than you did the other night. And you could see it in his approach and the team's approach. Game's over right now when Matt Barnes comes in. That's a huge, huge deal for that team. And that's, I think, what Dusty and the Astros are looking for.
Right. So, Ravi, on to the Yankees. They traded two relievers yesterday, Justin Wilson and Luis Sessa, to the Reds. But I think this is a sign that they're gearing up to make a major trade or sort of trade to improve their bullpen and make their team better, because they're only 2.5 games out of the wild card. Where are you on the Yankees and what they should do at the trading deadline?
Yeah, it's very easy to watch them and put yourself in the shoes of Brian Cashman and think we have no other choice. I mean, to me, if they concede, which I know they're not doing, but if they did, I wouldn't be sure what the future is of Brian Cashman or Aaron Boone. This is a team, obviously, that was built to win. And in spite of being underneath the tax threshold, that's the expectation. And after not winning a World Series since 2009, you gave Gerrit Cole all that money. That's what we are expected to do. The Severino injury has really hurt them. And I know we've been fits and starts and when he's coming back. But I would assume and understand from people in the organization, that's exactly what they expect to do, is to compete. And again, as we'll discuss moving into September, the goal is to get into the tournament, and the tournament is the playoffs. Get us into the tournament and let's see what happens. And the Yankees are certainly in a position with Gerrit Cole at the top and a lineup that when they're right, is as formidable as any in the league, then they're going to go for it. I don't think they have a choice. So I do think this sets them up when they save about $3-4 million on the tax threshold in a decision to get rid of those two guys. And at one point, you know, Justin Wilson was a really good reliever, and who knows, change of scenery for him might help. But I don't think there's any question for Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman and the rest of those people. They really believe in themselves. Look, last night, DJ LeMahieu came up with a runner at second base and actually went the other way, and it was a single, and you felt like you were right back to 2019 again. Like, okay, that's what he does. He just hasn't done it a lot this year. Last night he did, and they got through the latter innings, which they didn't do against the Red Sox at Fenway Park.
Right. And I'm with you on that. They got to go get a center fielder. Starling Marte makes some sense. The Yankees are not just going to sit back and not do anything and give in when they're 2.5 away from a wild card spot, even though they've had a pretty substandard year. All right. Switching over to the Nationals, another fascinating team. We've learned here in the last few days that everyone other than Juan Soto is available. And then last night, Trey Turner had to come out of the game after one at bat because of a COVID issue. Ravi, what's going on with the Nationals, and how big of a player or non-player are they in the trade deadline with Turner and Max Scherzer and injury issues?
Yeah, to me, the whole thing went sideways when Steven Strasburg began to be injured again. And he's a lot like, and I don't know, you know, we're going to do the Yankees tonight. We'll end up talking about Clint Frazier, who's clearly not Max Scherzer as far as impact goes, but he's another guy and he's dealing with dizziness. And, you know, it's a terrible thing for somebody like Frazier. Strasburg has certainly fallen into that category of a guy that you just cannot count on to be there, you know, 30 starts in 162 game season. And with Corbin not being, I think, the guy they thought they were going to get to make it that three-headed monster just consistently, it went sideways when Strasburg became unavailable, and it doesn't look like he's going to be available at all. So the Turner part of it, or the core player part of it, is always interesting to me. Again, Mike Rizzo does a really good job when it comes to trades, and he tends to win them. But with all, you know, due respect, and here's another item we should talk about during trade deadline stuff. Juan Soto is untouchable, which I understand. But if I were going to trade Trey Turner or Max Scherzer and change the entire complexion of my team, I would, being the guy that Mike Rizzo is, at the very least, not rule out a Juan Soto deal. I would have no idea what he may bring back for me. You could get five great players for him. I have no idea what other GMs would do in this situation if somebody that young and that talented became available. I'm certainly not sitting here suggesting they do that or trade him, but why you limit yourself when you're in a sell mode and there are buyers who would do that, why wouldn't you just say, call me on anybody? I don't understand that, unless it's a psychological play for somebody like Soto. But I don't know why you'd limit yourself. And then at the same time, the worst thing that broadcasters, we do, is during trade deadline and a team's trying to trade somebody, how many times have you heard, well, they're asking a king's ransom in return. It's really hard to get them. They're asking for so much. Of course, why wouldn't they? That's the whole point of being in the trade market. It's such a weird thing to hear, and we hear it often. Well, they're really looking for a lot in return. That's the whole point. Of course they are. Why do we say those things? Why wouldn't they? That's the reason you put out Trey Turner and other people. Yes, that's the whole point. Let's try to, if we can, Tim, just for us, me and you, let's try to stay away from, well, they're looking for a lot in return. Thanks. We didn't know that. And the sky sometimes is blue.
All right, just quickly on Scherzer, though, I got asked this morning on another radio show, Ravi, is it reasonable for the Nationals to set up something and say to Max Scherzer, we're going to trade you to a contender. Maybe you'll go get a ring, but you're going to come re-sign with us after the season, a la Aroldis Chapman. Is that unethical? Is that reasonable? Is that how the game works today? Would you be uncomfortable with the Nationals making some sort of arrangement like that? And is it possible to make an arrangement like that?
No, I don't think so. And I think Scherzer's like the great example of somebody who has been around this game, has bet on himself, understands the market and how it works. I would think that he would be reluctant to even have that conversation, because to have a deal with the Nationals or an agreement would eliminate 29 other teams from being able to re-sign him. I don't think he would be interested in that. The Nationals, to me, become just like everybody else in that dynamic. Max, we're going to trade you. We're going to wait till you see what we get in return for you or Trey Turner. You know, we hope to excite you by what this team looks like after this season, and then we will put our best offer on the table and hope that you would be willing to come back and sign it. But he strikes me as the type who wouldn't really be interested in that. Max knows his value better or as well as anybody in baseball. He knows there are other teams that are interested in him. He appears, at least based on the reporting, to have certain markets or teams he's not very interested in going to. But if those teams or markets bring the best offer, and that's what his ultimate goal is, he'll end up going there. So, no, I don't think that, especially in Max Scherzer's case, that would be something he's wholly interested in, beyond the assumption that, well, of course they're interested in bringing me back. I'm damn good at what I do and have had success there. So join the list of other teams that would like to have me on their team.
Right. All right, switching gears to the Cubs, we can't take our eyes off the Cubs because they have four potential free agents after the season who could be difference makers for other teams. When you look at Bryant, Rizzo, Baez, and Craig Kimbrel, how many of them go? What's your best guess on how much of a player the Cubs are, especially for those four guys at the trade deadline?
Yeah, I don't know. Look, if I were running the team or if you were running the team, I don't know how you would approach it. I would approach it first by looking in my own clubhouse and saying, if we're going to be competitive, and again, I don't know what Jed Hoyer's plan is. I don't know what the Ricketts plan is as far as being a championship caliber team and when that is on their clock. But the first question I would ask about ownership and to myself is, when do we want to be a great team again? And if it's in 2023 or 24, well, who is going to be a part of that? And to me, it feels like any one of them could be, but I would probably list Baez and Bryant as the first two guys that I'd like to have be a part of that because of where they're at in their careers and their ages. And then if Anthony Rizzo, we can trade, we have the ability because the operative two words are free agent. We have the ability, if we decide Rizzo's number three on that list and we're able to re-sign Baez and Bryant before the trade deadline, then great. Then we'll bring Anthony Rizzo back. So I would look at my own organization. How important is it for us to have Javier Baez or Chris Bryant or any of them and try to re-sign them? But if not, I could trade all of them and then bring them back as free agents after the year. Again, I'm a little confused by teams that go with – there are two things that confuse me, Tim, with regards to baseball. As you know, I get confused by a lot of things outside of baseball, but the two things that confuse me about baseball are, one, we're sellers, but we're not really going to sell players even though they're free agents and we can always re-sign them. That confuses me. So to limit yourself or to just cut it off at we'll trade Bryant and Rizzo, but we're going to keep Baez, when you could trade Baez and you could think about it, you could trade those three guys and get, I don't know, let's just say you hit on four of the six guys you get back in deals, and then you bring two of them, if not all three of them back. How much better are you in 2023 or 2022? So you're better. So I don't get that. The other thing I don't quite get is when we talk about teams protecting prospects, It always suggested to me that if we're unwilling to trade our prospects, it kind of tells everybody else that we don't have a great deal of faith in our ability to go get more of them. And the one thing that's always available are prospects. There are drafts. If you're willing to take a few steps back, you have a chance to hit on a prospect again. I never quite understood a team saying we're not gonna part with our top prospects. You didn't have them 3 or 4 years ago. You do now. You can do that again. That's what makes your front office, your scouting department, your analytics department really good. Have faith in your own system to find those players again, as opposed to holding on to them and either they never develop or you're stuck with one or two of them and your franchise never gets better. So those two things just confuse the hell out of me. And now my day is going to be ruined because I'm going to be thinking about that problem.
Last thing, Ravi, the Red Sox. We did their game against the Jays the other night. They won another comeback victory. It was so impressive. I really like the look of that team. Our pal Buster Olney, who runs this podcast, said on Monday he thinks Rizzo's going to the Red Sox. What do you think the Red Sox will do to improve that club and not only try to win the division, but be a real, real player in October?
Yeah, I go back and forth on it, although I think I'm landing in the place of they will do something and they will do something significant, because I just feel like Chaim Bloom has been, in a sense, like Andrew Friedman. Of course, you come from the organization in Tampa, which does an unbelievable job of maximizing players' abilities, and you find guys that in a sense fill out the jigsaw puzzle. And when I look at the Rays, I look at a team that has all good players. Like there's very few holes on it, at least the way they play and win. And you realize like they're all really good. They don't have those holes that other teams, even good ones, seem to have. You get into the 8-9 spot in a batting order, or you look around the infield and you say, yeah, not so good. Like they're just solid everywhere. But you come from an organization that you're accustomed to filling in with really good versus great. And look what happened in Los Angeles with some of the folks they went out to get. Chaim has some money to play with. I think the team has exceeded what he thought they were going to be this season. And whether it is a Rizzo or a Bryant or even a Max Scherzer, I do think that they are going to be in those conversations with these other teams, because it is easy to sit there and think, you know, if they add, let's just say Max Scherzer, and I haven't seen him come out and say like he has other teams, I'm not interested in going there. But let's say they add him and you're getting Chris Sale back, and you have Nate Eovaldi, you have Eduardo Rodriguez, you have Matt Barnes and a really good bullpen. Don't you right away think that they are the team to beat in the American League with a dramatic move like that, assuming you're not giving up one of your core players? It's easy, given where they are, to think that if you go out and get Anthony Rizzo, you are now able to really compete with the Astros and the White Sox in the American League. Like, you put yourself in the position to be one big acquisition away from being a favorite, if not co-favorite, in the American League. So I kind of am leaning towards them doing something significant. And that also has to do with the Rays, who are in that class, having done something very significant in getting Nelson Cruz. So I've moved to, I don't think this is a stand pat. I don't think it's, hey, we're out kicking our coverage here, but we're gonna stay on plan. I think they can stay on plan, make a big move, and then if they chose to sign that player for the next year, they do it. If not, they let him go and they carry on. But I've moved towards, I think they're going to make a big move.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us today, Ravi. Sorry we ruined your day. You're going to be thinking about things the rest of the day. But tonight, yeah, we're going to have a great time. Me, you, and Eddie doing a major league game from the Trop. It's going to be a really important game. Can't wait for tonight. Thanks for joining us today.
Buster is in big trouble because you do. Wouldn't you agree? You do this as well as Buster.
Wouldn't you agree? Okay. Thanks, Ravi. Talk to you tonight.
See ya.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit
to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Buster. Just go to Indeed.com/Buster right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Buster. Terms and conditions apply.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Bleacher Tweets.
All right, Timmy, Bleacher Tweets. For a Wednesday, and first I want to lead off with this. David Schoenfield was posing this question yesterday. What is your favorite and least favorite Olympic sport?
Well, baseball is my favorite sport, so it's got to be baseball. But I will tell you, Olympic basketball, especially with the original Dream Team, was unbelievable. I'm a big Olympics guy, at least I used to be. The, you know, 100-meter dash in 1968-72 when I was in their wheelhouse, that was like the coolest thing ever. The world's fastest human. I mean, what a title that is. Mm-hmm. That implies the only thing in the world that can beat you in a race is like a cheetah or an animal, you know, because you're the world's fastest human. But being a baseball guy, I'm always baseball first, but I do love Olympic basketball. And the single worst day of my entire athletics watching career was when we lost to the Russians in 1972 in one of the most ridiculously officiated games in history. I still remember where I was and what I was doing when we lost that game in the last second. It was torture and it was awful.
What's a sport that comes on and you're passing, you're just clicking by it?
Well, it's all the sports that I don't understand. I think curling is still an Olympic sport. I don't even know how to play that. And the shot put doesn't do much for me either, because we had to throw the shot in junior high school. And I'm only exaggerating slightly. The shot weighed more than I did back then.
Right.
And I used to always throw it incorrectly. I used to try to throw it like a baseball, which means I would like tear my labrum every time I went to gym class in the eighth grade. So the shot, as much as I admire anyone that can throw a piece of metal that far or a giant piece of steel that far, I'm not a big deal for me because it brings back bad memories.
Do you have a read on Team USA baseball? Are you going to watch their first game against Israel on Friday morning?
Yes, of course. In fact, the Israeli team played an exhibition game against the Big Train, which is my local college summer league baseball team. They played it, and Ian Kinsler, who doesn't play in the big leagues anymore, was the second, played for the Israeli team. So I love it that the Israeli team played an exhibition game against my team, the Big Train, and now is going to play the United States team. So yes, I will watch. And if nothing else, because Todd Frazier is going to play on the Olympic team. And I just love that story. Home run derby guy, Little League World Series champion, good major league player, now playing for his country. And I talked to him a little bit about it before he left, and he was pretty darned excited.
All right, Tim, you are a true professional. Before we get to the next tweet, you guys know this Olympic update is brought to you by CarMax. If it's time to sell your car, go for sold with an instant offer from CarMax. Find out what your car is worth with an instant offer at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way it should be. Let's go to Paul K-P-I-X. Paul writes, and at this point, is the Twins bullpen legendarily bad, or is it just a case of this is a bad team and the bullpen is extra bad?
No, this is not a historically bad bullpen. We've seen worse than this. In fact, the Cardinal bullpen this year, when it just comes to walks and hit batters with the bases loaded, there aren't too many bullpens weirder than the Cardinals bullpen this year. And of course, the Phillies bullpen last year, historically bad. But this year's Twins bullpen is bad, and it's one reason the Twins are in the mess they're in. It's the reason they've traded Nelson Cruz and might probably trade somebody else. I did not see this coming, this bullpen and this team being this bad this year. But sorry, not historically bad, just bad.
Got it. And let's go to Charlie B at A Fish and His Chips. Charlie B writes, and how often in your experience have division rivals traded like this in the very midst of a series, talking about the Astros Mariners trade? Do you remember anything like this happening?
I've seen it where somebody gets traded and walks over to the other team and plays for them in the second game of a doubleheader or the next day. It's really unusual. What makes this unusual is not just are the Mariners and the Astros in the same division, they're contenders in the same division. And to make a trade of that magnitude while the series is still going on and critical pieces, including Kendall Graveman, are switching teams, that's weird. I'm on the task. I haven't figured it out yet. Abraham Toro hit a home run in game on Monday night for the Astros against the Mariners. And then on Tuesday night, he hit a home run for the Mariners against the Astros. I'm working on when's the last time that happened. My guess is it's been a long time.
All right. That'll do for Bleacher Tweets. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter as you're watching games. And please follow, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. Thank you, Taylor, for putting all this together. Thank you, Carl Ravitch, for being our guest. Bunch of big games today in the major leagues. Ravi, Eduardo Perez, and I are doing the Yankees and the Rays tonight. Trade deadline is fast approaching. It's going to be total bedlam, perhaps, these next 48 hours. Stay tuned, and thanks for everyone for today.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.